You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ginny, and we are the art history babes.
Woo! So we're back!
We're back, baby!
To be completely honest, we're recording multiple episodes in one night, so like... things are going.
We're being so honest right now.
Where just things are going to overlap a little bit. So I'm just going to talk about it again, and you're going to hear me talk about it on the Basquiat episode too.
Unless you don't want to, in which case you can just get the fuck out.
Anyways, the Warriors just won the finals.
Yeah,
really fucking
stoked. Go Dubs.
Go Dubs.
We cried. We laughed. It was great.
Yeah, that's all I gotta say.
Going back. Back to Cali.
California love.
California knows how to play basketball. California knows how to play basketball.
That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, anyways, that was a dope game. And we're all just like riding the good vibes right now.
Yeah.
And that's why we're recording multiple episodes. also, we finished grad school for the most part.
Yeah!
Wait, I meant to like re-download Hamborn.
Oh shit, that was so loud.
Oh yeah, your
holy
ears are gonna
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, we did have like one email about that. It was like, I listened in my headphones and like
that's
it kills my ears. No.
That's
he said it in a really nice way, but I was like, I'm sorry.
Dude, we feel you. We want better like
did you have throughout this whole episode?
Yeah, we feel you. We'd love to upgrade on the sound equipment, but like to be 100% honest,
we're not there yet financially.
What do we look like? We haven't even gotten a return on the money we've put into this podcast. So like we're just doing what
0%.
We can, and none of us are employed right now. So like,
unfortunately,
I am so broke. Like cool, I've got a master's. Where the job's at,
yeah,
though.
We got masters and we got some mad student loan debt.
Woo!
We don't got money though. So
are there any daddies out there that are listening?
Yeah, for real. So like we will upgrade the equipment literally as soon as we can. It's just
help me, daddy.
It's just not feasible.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you're getting real weird with it.
If it works.
Jen's getting sensual on y'all.
I'm just kidding. That's not real.
Anyway. But anyways, so we're feeling good. Warriors won. We finished our theses.
So happy.
We're going to Europe in less than a week.
Oh my god. I'm not even all the way packed.
I'm not packed even a percentage of packing.
I still have like 80 essays to grade.
Oh,
like,
shit.
I haven't even.
I need to make sure my bag is up to size regulations for all the cheap ass airlines I'm about to fly on.
I need to print off an itinerary for you all.
Yeah.
So we all end up at the right bus station at the right time.
Yeah.
Like, we got a lot of shit to take care of, but we're getting some content out to you all because we love you all. And
you guys are going to get the best content.
We're making that content.
Yeah, for you, my darlings.
There will be content.
Today, what we're doing, we're going to do just a quick hot little episode about what it's like to be an art history student, like all around. So we tried to do this episode once before.
Like in April.
On 4/20, to be exact.
We were quite stoned.
Yeah, so what happened?
We were really stressed.
This is what happened. We tried to do this episode on 4/20. We ended up unexpectedly crossfaded, and it ended up just being like some random tangents about life.
It was
and
fun.
It was a fun episode.
I think it's a good episode.
Yeah, we're gonna post it for y'all as like a bonus episode of just like life advice and
but
shit.
But don't judge us.
Yeah.
If you're about to judge us by that episode, then I don't even wish to know you.
But the thing is, we didn't actually respond to, like, any of what we intended on responding. So it's, like, an hour and a half of us just, like, going on some interesting tangents.
Oh, it was that long.
It was. It was an hour and a half long. So if you are one of our listeners that enjoys, like, our banter, you'll probably like this episode. If you're one of our listeners that was like, I wish you didn't talk so much, you probably won't like that episode. Don't listen to it. But we're going to post that after this episode. We're going to post this one on what it is like to be an art history student, answering just some general questions sent to us by listeners about being an art history student. Then we're going to post some just
our
random
bullshit episode.
Bullshit.
I think we're just going to call it bullshit episode.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that'll be what it's called.
That's what it is.
And then right after that, you're going to get off an episode on Jean-Michel Basquiat. So we got mad content coming at you before we go to Europe. And then once we go to Europe, you're going to want to be on all of our social media, because
we're going
to
post so much
stuff. Jen's got unlimited data while we're in Europe.
Woo! You guys have no idea. I'm going to be snapping it. I'm going to be Instagramming it. I'm going to be Facebooking it.
She's going to be tweeting it.
There's going to be so much content. You don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get that sick ass content from the inside of the nasty ass German nightclubs where the phones are prohibited. I'm going to get that content to y'all. You don't
we're
even
gonna
know
be,
what happens no, in there.
We're going to be in Copenhagen. We're going to be in Paris. We're going to be in Amsterdam. We're going to be in Berlin. We're going to be in Prague, y'all.
That's so much.
So much shit. Be on the lookout.
Also, if you live out there and you want to take us
places,
hit us up, dude. Yeah. You know, we'll fucking party with you.
I'll go out with you for some like pasta.
Hell yeah.
And
direct
wine.
Us in the way of like great nighttime food.
Anyways, this episode, first episode back in a long time. We're excited to be back. I know some of you guys are getting antsy.
Oh my god.
We appreciate the love. We really do. But this episode, we're doing something a little different, and it comes to us, this idea comes to us from a listener by the name of Hillary, and she sent us a listener mail. I think a lot of listeners enjoy out of pure hobby, but I'm willing to bet there are more young aspiring art historians like myself who feel apprehensive about pursuing that degree, especially in our economic and political climate. I would love to hear about your experiences, what grad school is like, where you plan to take your education, etc. Just in general, the answers to those tough questions, in part maybe to ease my anxiety and also to educate myself before I dive in. I love art, and I know there are others like me. I hope you will take this suggestion, but regardless, love your show and continue to tune in regularly. So we are taking that suggestion, because I think it's a great suggestion.
Thank you, Hillary.
I think it's an important thing to talk about, and obviously we've been in the trenches of it for a while, so let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
So we're going to just kind of start off. Let's do a quick rundown of, like, tips for maybe undergrad art history students, because I know we have a lot of listeners that are undergrads that are just kind of getting into this world and are excited about it and are all doughy-eyed, and, like, I know that vibe for sure. So, like, general undergrad art history advice.
Okay. So, memorization.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a big part of...
It is key.
You need to know those IDs, baby. Here are some tricks and tips. So, the one option you have that is a little bit more labor-intensive, and you need to have access to a printer and a glue stick, which may or may not be easy for you to do. So, if it is, you can print out images, and you stick them on one side of an index card, and on the other side you have the artist, the title, the date, and like a couple sentences on like relevant information. If you don't have the time or like the energy to do that, you can put it in a PowerPoint where you have one slide has the image, next slide has that same information, so you just do it on your computer.
Also, though, there is, I can't remember the exact name of it, but there's like an, if you have a Mac, there's like an app you can get on your Mac that's like a flashcard app. You can make flashcards on your computer.
Didn't know that in undergrad. Also,
yeah, exactly. In undergrad, I didn't have that either. So, like, I would do the actual, like, I'd print them off and I'd put them on postcards. And it was actually hella fun. I would, like, I remember I would, like, drink and watch Drunk History while I made flashcards for my art history exams. It was a good time. I just have a couple beers and make my flashcards, and it's like, it's just such a great way to study.
Making,
like,
flashcards is really the way to go. Yeah, with history.
Exactly, because not only, like, you get something out of making them. Like,
yes, you're that is studying, part of the studying process.
You're studying while you make them.
That's like, very much an undergrad thing, though.
Yeah, definitely. To be honest. And because IDs are so important in undergrad art history, kind of going off what Ginny said, make those flashcards, whether it's on your computer or like actual physical flashcards. Definitely do the IDs, do the, you know, artist, date, name, but write a couple sentences about the work, because in art history exams, a lot of time you're gonna end up with like an essay question, yeah, or something. And just taking the time to write two or three sentences about an artwork is going to solidify that work in your mind, mm-hmm, in a like completely different level.
Yes.
Like I would, sometimes I'd half-ass it, and you know, half of my flashcards, I'd write shit about the work and half, I just would just do the IDs. The ones where I took the time to look at the work and actually write a couple sentences about what I saw were so much clearer in my mind.
Like, yeah.
So much clearer. It's just you're creating more connections between those synapses, and yeah, you're like, and when it comes to test time and that image comes up, you're going to be firing. You're going to, yes, like know what you're looking at. So at least take the time to write a few sentences about every work you need to know for the test. It's going to make all the difference.
For sure. It's can be like a real, it's can be Jesus. it can be a real drudgery and like pain in the ass, but it pays off for sure. And like if you have a professor that is nice enough to provide a study guide where they have the general questions, writing out practice short answers and essays is really helpful. Yes. Just the act of like writing out what you know or even rewriting your own notes helps you memorize it that, mm-hmm, much better. Mm-hmm. That can really, really make a huge difference.
I think it does make a huge difference, honestly. As a grad student, though, you don't have to worry about any of this.
I know, unless you're taking, like, a language class, which is a whole different,
you have to worry about your students figuring it out, yes, but not you.
Yeah, before we move on there's a big difference between undergrad and graduate.
Huge.
Like, huge difference. but before we move on to the world of grad school, yeah, definitely just like practicing, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a teacher that gives you maybe like three potential essay questions, write essays for every one of them.
Oh.
Like, you will be so glad you did. Like, yeah, so, so glad. And in terms of not just testing, but if you're taking an undergraduate art history class, chances are you have to write a paper. That's very likely that you have to write, you know, a 5 to 10 page paper at some point. And in writing that paper, one, make sure, like, it seems so simple, but make sure you have a thesis statement. Make sure you
just have an argument.
Make, yeah, sure
have a thing that you're supporting.
Make sure you have a clear thesis statement in your introduction somewhere.
Yes.
Like, just what is your argument? Make sure it's clear to the person grading it. Because if it's not clear to the person grading it, like, you're screwed. Like, yeah, you just need to make your argument very clear. Also, very important thing that I think a lot of people don't understand when they're doing academic writing. Every paragraph you write should have a purpose. Like, you don't want a page-long paragraph that starts in one place and ends in a completely, yeah, different place.
And you don't want a paragraph that's a sentence.
No.
People do that. And yeah. I'm like, what is, yes, this? What
did people you do have here? Paragraphs that go on for like two pages, and people have paragraphs that are a single sentence or two. Try to avoid that. Like, each paragraph should have like a main fucking point. Like,
yeah,
a main
a paragraph is a point.
Once it's once it yeah, shifts, new paragraph.
Yeah.
That's it.
Also, a good thing that will help you, especially in undergrad, that just like makes all the difference. get good at your visual analysis. Like, if you go deep.
That can bulk up a paper.
Oh, my God.
Insider tip.
I did that in my thesis. So, a lot. I was like, oh, look at this part right here.
Yeah, for real. Visual analysis in an art history paper. Like, if you need it's huge. Like, if you can look at a painting and pick out all these little things, like, that's what art historians do, is pick out the shit people don't notice. I think an important thing to remember is that while, yes, your professors and your TAs have been doing art history longer than you are, they don't know every little thing about every painting. Like, we don't know everything. Like, it's not like every art historical fact we have ever learned is just in our brains, you know? And we don't know every painting we've ever looked at. So if you can write a paper and you can point out things to your professor that they haven't noticed, you're fucking golden. Like, you are solid.
Your grade is going to be higher because whoever's reading your essay is going to be like, oh, I'm interested in this.
Yeah. So point, like, look at whatever painting, whatever work you're talking about. Look at it for a long-ass time and point out all these things you can point out and try and make connections, like bigger connections. And like, that's going to impress who's grading your paper because
for sure.
They're going to say, hey, this person took the time to look at this work and really find something in it. And it really makes a huge difference.
It does.
So visual analysis is huge in art history.
It's very important. And also know how to find academic sources for your papers.
Hell yeah.
Not Wikipedia.
Not an academic source, y'all. It's not.
Not like...
It will never be.
It will never be.
YouTube documentary videos.
Nope.
It's academic, peer-reviewed journal articles and books. Mostly those are your main
JSTOR is your friend.
JSTOR is your friend. If you start on Wikipedia, it's a beautiful thing because you can click on the little links on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. They're going to give you actual sources that you can go to.
Yeah.
Don't take it off Wikipedia. Go to that source and be like, this is a legit source, you know? And then you go from being, like, not legit to legit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so books, I know we live in the age of the internet and it's a beautiful thing and I rely on it way too much, too, but go to the library.
Yeah.
Do it. Just do it.
And if you can't find sources, ask your librarian at your school library. They are so underutilized, like, universally, and they want to help you. Like, just email them. Say, hey, I want to write on this topic, but I can't find any sources, and I guarantee you they will be able to help you and give you some more sources than what you started with, certainly.
And I think this is just, like, research all around. I have an art history research, but like, we're living in this crazy time of quote unquote fake news and all this bullshit. Like, learning what a real source is just so goddamn important.
It really is.
Like, for your entire life. Like, you need to know what is legitimate information and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
And
you should be able to identify what is, like, actual information, what is fake news, if we're using that term.
I don't want to use that term.
I know, I don't want to use it either, but it actually makes sense. Here's something we haven't talked about yet. As an undergrad, I didn't capitalize on this. Use your professors.
Yeah.
Meet them.
Talk to them. Go to their office hours.
Like, become...
Yeah.
Become a face
that they
to
know.
Them.
Yeah.
And they will
you never
be
know
so
when you're
going to
need a letter.
Yeah, exactly. And straight up, they will be so excited when, like, an undergrad comes into a professor's office and, like, I'm thinking about doing art history. Like, they get so excited.
Yeah.
Like, they want, you know, more people in this field. And, like, just taking the time to talk to them, make some sort of connection. It doesn't even have to be super intense. Like, I had a professor in undergrad who I loved, and we had, like, a good rapport. It's not like we spent a lot of time together at all. Like, we really didn't, but she, you know, liked my work, and, like, she wrote me a letter, and, you know, I'd spent I think I went to her office a couple of times.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference.
Just it does.
So they know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, they want to help you. Like,
yeah.
Your professors want to write you letters, and they want you to get into grad school, and
yeah.
they want to do those things for you. And they want to see you at conferences in the future.
Yes.
And, like,
yes.
especially in a field like art history where so many people are so apprehensive. Like, they want you to do it. So if you're interested, talk to them.
Yeah. Even if you're not sure. Even if you're kind of loosely thinking, oh, maybe I would go to grad school for this. The best things to do to prep yourself for that are to make relationships
yeah.
with professors who can write you letters of recommendation. And especially if you're going to go to art history grad school, try and take some language courses in at least one language.
Yeah, language is good.
It will help you. It will really, really help.
Language is important. Also, I would recommend both as an undergrad and a graduate, try and connect if you're not, like, because some people cross over and do both art and art history, but if you're not, like, an actual artist, connect with the artists, connect with the art students, because, like, that's such an important, like, connection to have, and you're going to learn a lot, and just having that mutual, like, understanding and respect between, like, art historian and artist, especially in the yeah. contemporary art world, is huge. Like, it's really important. And so, yeah, even in undergrad, like, you know, I hung out with some of, like, the artists that were either masters or undergrads. And it's an important relationship to have that I think helps you to understand the art world mm-hmm. if you're planning on moving forward with it.
For sure.
So connect with artists, connect with your professors.
Yeah.
And yeah, get involved in, go to the undergraduate art shows, like go to their shows and be involved and be like a part of whatever the art scene is at your school, you know, like.
What is it?
Be there. Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to get involved in undergrad. And I think you have a lot of freedom in undergrad to just kind of like explore. Like
for
you're
sure.
if you're not majoring in art history, like you can minor in it, you can play around with it.
For sure.
Those are our general tips for undergrad. Do you have anything else?
As far as undergrad, I think I already said what I needed to say. Like, I think that as grad students, we feel more pressured to connect with faculty members on a personal level.
Yes.
but that should not just be relegated to grad school. You should do that as an undergrad as well. It's very helpful. Letters of recommendation, just becoming a recognizable face amongst a sea of people. Doing those kinds of things, I think, gets you far.
You can also do, and I mean, I didn't do any of this, but like undergraduate, like research symposiums yeah. and shit. Like
that. I never did that.
I didn't either, but that's a good thing. Like, you know, go to an undergraduate conference. Like that's big. Like that's a big deal. Like yeah. doing stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways to get involved as undergraduate. And I think you have a lot of freedom in like kind of playing with how you want art history to work into your future. When you go to grad school, it's a little more, as Jen said, like there's a lot of pressure. Like
it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure to make sure you're known and make sure that professors know who you are. But at the same time, I feel like we've touched on this before, but I think it's important to know straight up, not every professor is going to like you,
nope.
and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be totally okay with that. You're going to find the professors that dig what you're doing, and then there's going to be other ones that don't really dig what you're doing, because every professor wants you to be doing what they're doing. Like, they want you to be doing research that's similar to them or that they can help with.
Yeah.
So you're going to have professors that just maybe don't get what you're into or you don't click with. That's totally fine.
Yes.
You're going to find the right ones that you click with and that are excited about what you're doing. So while there is a pressure to get involved and be known, don't let that like stand in your way, or like don't let that.
I think that the best thing you can do as a graduate student, if you're dealing with a faculty member who like doesn't particularly like you, you just have to accept that. And
yeah, and just like walk away from that.
Yeah, like you're not gonna like convince everybody in your department. Our department was small, so certain things were, I think, more obvious for us. But also, like, there was also enough people in our department that were super interested in what we were working on. So it's really just about growing a thick skin. If you're someone who takes criticism super seriously and personally, you're going to have a really bad time in grad school.
At the same time, I don't think it's that bad. Like, I mean, there...
You get used to it. I mean, at first, there's, like, an initial shock when you come in and you're like, oh, fuck, what have I done?
Yeah.
And then you just need to get, like, a few courses under your belt or, like, a quarter or a semester or whatever, and then you become more and more kind of, like, acclimated. And
I don't know. I don't want to give off the idea that, like, you come into grad school and everyone's crazy critical all the time. No. Because that's not the situation. No. I got, like... Right away, I got really great feedback from a lot of professors. You know, it's not like, it's not that scary. It really isn't. But it is kind of on another level. And you are expected to perform a little better. But at the same time, people aren't going to, you know, like if your first quarter, you don't quite get it or mess up, like you're fine. You know, yeah. Like people, I feel like there's definitely an understanding, at least in our program, there is an understanding the difference between a first year and a second year, you know. By second year, you're expected to kind of have your shit together, you know. Yeah. But there was wiggle room. There was time where you know, we were growing from being undergraduates to being graduate students. So, like, I don't think anyone should be horribly afraid. Like, it is on another level because you're in graduate seminars. You're in these seminars where there's only, like, 10 of you. And yeah. It's you and the professor. And they're literally just waiting for you to keep the seminar running, and they want to hear your thoughts all the time. That's a big difference. That's important to point out. The difference between an undergraduate course where you have like 100 people in a big lecture hall where like barely anyone has to talk, and then you go to a graduate seminar with 10 people, you have to talk. You have to say what you're thinking, and you have to present.
You just have to be very comfortable with speaking.
Exactly. And if you're not, the first day you get to graduate school, you get used to it. Like, it's not like it's, I don't know, I don't want to deter anyone from it, like, that it's, like, this horrible thing by any means. But you do. Yeah, you have to, every graduate seminar you take, you're probably going to have to present on whatever you're writing about.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get if you're not comfortable, you're going to have to get comfortable with sharing your ideas with people. So, yeah, you're going to have to get really comfortable with presenting information in front of people. You're going to have to get comfortable with just sharing your ideas, even if they're not fully formed. And that was, I think, for me, was a big thing. Like, in undergrad, I didn't like to talk in class, even though... You know, a lot of times my undergrad was small and we had a very, very small underdeveloped art history department. And so, like, a lot of times my ideas were probably, like, on the upper end of things, but, like, I didn't want to share them. And once I got to grad school, I had to just be okay with just saying what was going on in my head during seminar.
Yeah.
Because that's what keeps seminars going, is just, like, talking about what you're thinking and your feelings about things. And you need to be able to present on your research, which I think, you know, my first graduate seminar, like, presenting on my research was really, like, nerve-wracking. It was, like, a big deal. But, you know, after you do it a couple times, it's nothing. It's fine. So it's definitely, I guess, from undergrad to grad school, you have to be ready for more eyes to be on you, for people to be expecting a little bit more out of you, which can kind of be a lot sometimes. But on the positive side, you don't really have to deal with tests anymore.
Yeah.
A lot less memorization.
No tests, dude.
It's just a lot of writing. That's another thing that I think maybe people don't quite understand. Like, if you're going to grad school for art history, be ready to write some pages, man. Like, you are going to have to write a lot. If you don't like to write, art history is probably not for you.
Yeah,
like,
it's not for you.
It's a lot of writing. It really is. We wrote hella pages.
I think you have to genuinely like writing.
Yeah, to an extent.
Just like as a person.
You have to like putting your ideas on paper.
Yeah.
Because if you don't enjoy that in any way, shape, or form, you're going to have a really hard time. For sure.
You should just not bother. Honestly. Just truthfully.
Yeah.
You're going to hate it. You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. But if you are more of like, I like writing, I'm not so great at tests, you're going to do great in grad school because it's like so much less of that memorization and more just putting your ideas and your research into words, which is cool. Like, it's a cool thing to watch happen. Like, my research skills have gotten insanely better over
like,
the past
papers
years.
I write now compared to what I wrote in undergrad, it's like, wow.
I know, right? Like, I look at my thesis and I'm, like, kind of impressed with myself. I'm like, wow, I've come, like, a long-ass way in a couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, what we do is we read and we write and we talk on repeat. That's what we do. And then you grade if you are in a department where you are actually TAing. And those are all really good skills, regardless of what you are actually going to do post-grad really school.
I also think being able to approach things theoretically is important in art history. You know, we talk about art theory and art criticism a lot, and things can get really abstract real fast, which probably isn't a surprise. So being able to keep up with that and just be like open about your ideas and being willing to dive in, even if you maybe feel kind of silly, is important to do good art history, I think. Like being able to take chances about like what you think about art and society and how it all works together. So in terms of kind of outside of just being in academia, there's also a lot of, you know, like, especially when you're either in undergrad or master's programs, doing internships is big. It's very important. A lot of them are unpaid, which is a total bummer, but that's kind of the world we live in as like millennials right now, just unpaid internship life. But trying to get internships either in undergrad or grad school is a great idea. It just looks good on your resume. I don't know, do you want to talk about your internship experience at all, Jenny?
Sure. I mean, the unfortunate thing is that a lot of internships that you can get related to art or art history are unpaid because many of them are centered around museums, much of which are nonprofit, which sucks. But if you can pick them up where you can, because you can always make it sound better than it is on a resume or a CV. And it's always good experience, and it can help you in terms of navigating what you're interested in and what you may not be in terms of like certain things about gallery or museum work. There are a lot of different departments you can go into, especially museums. So it's, if you can afford it, do it as much as you can, especially when you're an undergrad and you're, maybe your schedule is a little bit more liberal. But it's, you know, all experience is good experience. But don't expect to walk into an internship where they're paying you above minimum wage.
Yeah.
Because it's probably not going to happen.
Definitely. I got really lucky. I had an internship where it was, like, connected to a scholarship. So basically the scholarship paid me to do an internship, which was cool. And it was at a art museum in, like, my hometown. And I got to do, like, I did some, like, gallery tours and stuff, but I was the, like, the manager of our art camp program. So it was a lot of, you know, wrangling small children and, like, and, like, doing art projects with them, which was, like, really cool. I really enjoyed it. And, like, for me, it was, like, a good fit. And it's just good experience if I want to do museum education or something. But there's lots of different, you know, like, if you want to do museum education, if you want to do curatorial work or, gallery tours, or if you're more interested in the money side of things and you want to, you know, sell art or be part of the art market.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't know. For me, it was a really great experience, and, like, I was lucky enough to work it out to where I could get paid, but, like, really, I mean, even if you can only afford, you know, a couple days a week to go in and, like, do some research or lead a gallery tour, like, that's going to, it's going to help you understand the world you're getting into, and it's also just going to be great on, like, a resume. Yeah, definitely take advantage of those opportunities as much as possible. Anyone else?
I don't have any other advice. As a matter of fact, listeners, send me your advice. Because I don't even know what the hell I'm doing over in the summer. Help us help you.
Well, that'll get you through school and undergrad and grad school.
Yeah, I mean, that's
survival guide.
Yeah, I think that's general survival guide. I mean,
post that, it's really up to you. I mean, we're still figuring it out ourselves. I think you can go in a lot of different directions, and you can start a podcast.
Yeah, and maybe that'll make you some money at some point. That'd be really cool. It's complicated, and we just graduated, and we're going to go to Europe, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have jobs, but I don't know.
We're going to find them, though.
We're going to find them, exactly. Promise you that. So, I mean, and there's a lot to do in the art world, but, you know, padding your CV as much as possible is a great thing to do in this capitalist society that we live in.
Yes.
Like, I really like what we're doing, and I think trying to be original and insightful in how you approach art history is really important. You know, content creation, making that content.
Yeah.
I also think the incorporation, like I said before, like the mix between like artists and art historians is going to be really important moving forward. Like, get involved in the contemporary art scene, be a part of it, like be a part of what's happening, because the way art is developing is so like nebulous and crazy that like being someone who writes about art, like you want to be at the center of it all, you know? So yeah, travel, learn, read, watch documentaries.
Yeah.
Listen to podcasts. Other thing I would suggest, because I think we're very much moving in this direction, not so much art history, and we're moving into like a world of visual culture, that being able to do art history but also do something else as well is like a really good combination. So like double major in like art history and psychology, or art history, yeah, and you know, like having another angle to go at it from is like really good, and it gives you new insight into just art, because we're definitely, I think, moving away from the super traditional art history into a world of just like understanding visual material. So come at it from a multidisciplinary level.
For sure. It's our two cents.
Yeah, I think our department has been supporting that as well. This whole idea of an interdisciplinary approach has been super popular.
Yeah, and I think all of our like theses really represented that. We all came...
Dude, totally.
We all came at it from a very different place.
I think that a lot of us really tried our hands at being cultural anthropologists.
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of art history definitely is cultural anthropology.
For sure. Yeah, that's another good one. Double major art history anthropology.
That's a good one. That's,
that's a good one.
That's
yeah.
A powerhouse.
That is
combo.
A powerhouse. Yeah. General tips for surviving art history school.
As far as we know about art history school, that's the best we can offer you.
For sure. But, I mean, if you have any more specific questions, please email us at arthistorybabes.com. Let's do a couple of quick listener mails.
Hi, Art History Babes. A week ago, a friend of mine mentioned your podcast, and I quickly started listening. Even though I'm definitely old enough to be any of your mothers, I adore what you do, and you seriously make me laugh out loud while listening on the treadmill. Makes the 30-odd minutes go by so much faster. Halfway through Color Theory Part 1. Oh, girl.
That's a good one.
Color Theory Part 2 is so good. Wandering through, where are you going to school? I've kind of gleaned that you are maybe located in the Bay Area. I was born and raised in Berkeley and went to the then CCAC, the now CCA in Oakland, and graduated with a BFA in General Fine Arts, but completely geeked out on art history. Obviously, I still do. I recently learned that Michelangelo might have been influenced by the Kabbalah in doing the Sistine Ceiling. Any thoughts on this? A possible episode about mystical spiritualism in Renaissance art? ? Anyway, I'm a fan and learn something new with every podcast. But my burning question is, where are you located? I'm not going to stalk you. I live on the other coast. Ooh, Vicky. Oh, Vicky.
Vicky!
Vicky, what do we think about letting you know where we're at?
I don't know, Vicky. First off, mystical spiritualism and Renaissance art sounds
yes.
dope.
Yes.
We definitely do that. And I don't know anything about this Michelangelo being influenced by the Kabbalah.
I've never heard of that.
I'm really excited about it, and I want to know more. But what are our feelings? And are we gonna divulge our location?
I don't know. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that come with if we do that?
I don't know.
What are we even agreeing to?
I don't know.
Oh, Vicky.
We've actually had some listeners who found us. They like found us on the internet, and
you know what?
They know where we are. They're little detectives. They figured it out.
Detective work, Vicky. You know what you need to know? You need to know that we are in the Yolo County area.
Ho,
Yolo.
I think that's good.
We're in the Yolo County area, and I think you can put the rest of it together because you sound like a smart babe. And I think you can figure it out. Thank you, Vicky.
Yeah, thanks for that. We should definitely look into the Kabbalah and Michelangelo because I'm, like, super stoked about that idea.
So stoked.
All right. Thanks for listening. Check us out. If you have any questions, like specific questions, email us at arthistorybabes@gmail.com. Check us out at Art History Babes Podcast on Instagram. We're going to be posting mad pics from Europe.
So yes, many. We are.
Twitter at Art History Babes. We need to get our Twitter numbers up.
We're going to do better.
We suck at Twitter. We need to make that happen.
We're going
to
do better.
Facebook, Art History Babes, Tumblr, all of it. Patreon.com/Art History Babes. Also, when we get back from Europe, we're going to start figuring out like special bonus content for all of you people who donate to us. So get on that train. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
We like you.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history base.
Gonna be so much content you don't even know.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to get that sick ass content from the inside of the nasty ass German nightclubs where the phones are prohibited. I'm gonna get that content.